Love Talk Radio.
Where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child.
Turning the Tables with Talk. I'm your host, Reggie, and I'll be with you tonight for the next 90 minutes as we discuss how is the coronavirus affecting you here on Turning the Tables with Talk. Welcome everybody into the show tonight. As I said before, I'm your host, Reggie, tonight, and I'll be with you for the next 90 minutes. We're going to try to reestablish this show. As most of you already know, one of our co-hosts passed away, my sister Barbara, and my other sister, Minister Vaughn, is trying to get her feet back under her. And I understand that, and that's totally understandable. But at this point, she's just can't really face the conversations that might come up about my sister. But I think it's important that our sister be discussed if the topic arises. So I'm here to do that. If anyone has anything to tell us about your experiences with Barbara, that's just fine with me. So I know she was she had lots of friends and lots of Christian relationships. So I'm just so happy that those people have come up to us, all the family members, and let us know just how important she was and what a difference she made in their lives. So that's very important to us. That's also one of the reasons for me that it made her passing a little bit easier, knowing all the people that she had touched. So that's I was happy to hear that as we held her funeral services in Atlanta, Georgia, and then again in Columbia, Tennessee. So having said that, is the coronavirus affecting you? And that's what we want to talk about tonight as we all sit in quarantine, most of us in most states, at least here in Illinois, we're sitting in quarantine. But that's okay. This is part of the big plan. So I just want to talk to everybody and see how it's affecting you, and I'll kind of start off myself. Please remember that if you want to dial in, if you have someone you want to give them the number to dial in, they can call in at 516-666-8431. 516-666-8431. And you better believe we did not request the 666 in there. But speaking of turning the tables with talk and trying to rebuild this show, it's my request that you join us every Friday night, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, and please tell your friends about this show. We want to get this show built back up to where it was when Sister Barbara passed, and she hosted the last show on Friday, March the 13th. She hosted the last show before she passed on within 24 hours. And so we want to make sure that we keep the show as it is, as it was helping so many people, we hope, that we want to keep Sister Barbara's dreams alive. As you may know, she is the name. She came up with the name Turning the Tables with Talk, and I think it's just wonderful that we keep that name alive, because that's what we want to do. We want to turn the tables by having a discussion, getting things out and talking things out, and together, in the old two heads are better than one consensus, I also say one ear is better than none. So you can listen. I will listen to you as you want to discuss anything you have on your mind. So we can go through that, but just rest assured. But this is the place where you can discuss your issues. This is not a Christian show, but it is a show that is hosted by Christians. But this is a show about life, issues and things that impact your life, your daily life. So that's what we're really here to talk about, is the issues that impact people's lives, and try to help each other come up with some solutions. So as I said before, I'm going to step into how the coronavirus has affected my life. First of all, my wife and I celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary about 9 days ago. However, today is April the 24th, and I have not seen her since March the 14th, when my sister died. So my wife is quarantined down in Texas, Austin, Texas, at my son's house. My son and his wife, Janet, just had their first child, their daughter, our first grandchild, first granddaughter. And so we're real happy about that. And so, as it were, my wife is quarantined down there. However, she has gotten to witness the first 6 weeks of Kayla's life. And I think that's very important. So I'm so happy about that. And I think we're fortunate. I always say that there seems to be a plan for everything. So in this case, I'm happy and that she did get the opportunity to witness the first at least 6 weeks at this point, and I expect it to be 8 weeks or so soon. I guess it's 5 weeks thus far. But I expect that she'll probably be down there for a while longer. But that's okay. It's one of those things that we, as prior military members, myself for 27 years and my wife for 24 years, we are used to long separations. We know how to respond, at least. We haven't had to deal with that in, 13 years or so. However, we do know how to respond when that happens. And so this is not as big of a jolt as it would be to some. So that's one way that my life has been impacted by the coronavirus. I would say another way would be My grandson is here with me. Our grandson is here with us. Our 14-year-old grandson. And, you know, not being able to go out of the house much besides right here in the neighborhood and having to socially separate. So he hasn't really gone out too much. That is tough on him. And it's tough on me, too, but I think it's tougher on him because this social separation, he can't really go and truly play basketball with his friends or, you know, go to the trampoline park or go anything like that. He can't. Places are closed. So I have been trying to find ways to keep him entertained. Initially, I was leaving him alone and letting him go play his Xbox game, but that went too far because he was playing it he probably played it 13 hours a day, and then chores are here, and so the chores were not getting done. His side, he was not picking up or carrying out his duties here and responsibilities. After repeated warnings, we had to just limit him to 6 hours a day on the game. And that seemed to work pretty well. And so we moved forward. Still have to keep an eye, you know, he's doing schooling from home. So the school gave him a computer. And I have to keep an eye on the laptop just to make sure that he's going to class at 10:30 in the morning, since lots of times he was staying awake till 3, 4 in the morning playing that game, maybe 5. So by the time 10:30 came, he never even turned over. Having to keep an eye on that as well has been challenging. I guess the only challenge was that I didn't know how to verify that he was in class, how to verify that he was attending class, rather, how to verify that he's getting his homework done, his work done, how to check up on his progress, how to check up on his grades. I did not know how to do any of that because normally he lives with his mom. And so that was the biggest problem. That was the biggest growing pain, is that I had to familiarize myself with the entire process. So now we understand that we're being truthful when we say, how are things going? Don't give me an answer just to get me out of your hair. And that's working out pretty good thus far. Of course, as President Ronald Reagan once said, you have to trust but verify. That was his answer for when he met in Iceland with the Russians. And we were in the heat of the Cold War and the nuclear war, nuclear armaments, stockpiling nuclear armaments. President Reagan went to Iceland and signed a treaty with Russia. And he said that his position on it, that we should trust but verify. And so key there, I believe, is to, when you're working with young kids, you got to trust them, but verify what they're saying. So I guess the other way, today I had food delivered to the house from the grocery store. My wife from Austin, Texas, was able to go look at the grocery list on our Alexa home assistance or a machine, our home assistant machine. You may have heard her just say something. Anytime you say that Alexa name, it tries to answer. We put the grocery list on there, and then my wife can pull that up, and she went online to our Dierbergs store here in Illinois, and she ordered all the items that we needed. just as if she had gone to the store herself, and then the lady showed up, dropped off the food, and I gave her a tip, and we brought the food inside and wiped it down and all that good stuff. And we're just not, I'm not used to that. That was the first time I had done it. I've driven down myself and put a mask on and gone in the store. I'll tell you one of the advantages of doing it that way, though, what we did today, having it delivered, one of the great advantages is that it cost a total of $127. And I can tell you right now, when Big Reggie goes to the store, somehow I go in for, let's say, 10 or 11 items. My bill ends up coming out to $400, and I have, you know, 31 items in the cart. And so I am not good. I need to follow my wife's advice and eat before I go. And that would be very helpful. So that was comfortable, though. I did not have to go out, put my mask on, go shopping in the grocery store, come back, put my groceries in the cart, go back into the restroom in the store, wash my hands, then, you know, go back to the car and drive home and do the same thing taking the groceries in. So you do all that you can, but it was much easier for me just for them to deliver it. That was much easier. So I'm appreciative for that. I think the other way that the coronavirus or COVID-19 has affected me is I'm a wanderer. And I like to take my grandson out and then take him to the trampoline park, or I like to take him on adventures and, you know, hiking, playing these geocaching games. So you go out and online, it's a game amongst a lot of people, and you go out using your GPS. You try to find this little trinket, you know, cheap things like nickel items from the dollar store, but they're all placed in this plastic container, let's say a piece of Tupperware that might be 6 inches by 3 inches by 4 inches tall or 3 inches tall. There will be things placed in that container, but you have to find a well-hidden container. And so that's a geocaching, is what that's called. So we go out and do that sometimes. And with the virus, we can go ride around in the truck, but we really don't want to go and start picking through things that other people have been picking through maybe recently. Oftentimes, people who are on the freeway, other geocachers, will get off to grab a bite to eat, and they'll decide they're from Montana going to Virginia, and when they come through here, they get off the freeway to get something to eat, and then they decide, while we're off the freeway or while we're here, let's geocache one position, one place, one location. And for that reason, I don't want to go out there and geocache and pick up that container, and I don't know who's been touching the container. So that person could be from New York City. So that's it's rather limiting on where we can go and what's open. But it's also been fun for me and the grandson. He's a better cook than I am. I'll be honest. He's 14. I'm 58. And I'm really proud of what I cook. I can't say that it's delicious, but I think now my spaghetti noodles are actually like noodles. Before, I guess my wife educated me, though. I think this was probably 25 years ago, or a little bit 27. I did not know that to cook macaroni and cheese or spaghetti, I poured the water. I got the water out of the faucet, put it on the stove, turned the eye on, and immediately I put the noodles in the water so they could start, you know, when the water got hot, they could start cooking. Well, I went back up there to check on them, and the noodles were stuck together like one big brick. I did not know that they should not be placed in cold water. I did not know that you were supposed to boil the water first. Get the water boiling, then put the noodles in there and a little spoonful of oil, vegetable oil, just to make sure that they don't stick together. So that is, I won't say that's typical of my cooking, but let's just say years ago when my children, or especially when my wife was on a business trip, when my children knew that I was cooking dinner, all of a sudden, I'd call them and tell them that dinner's ready, and all of a sudden they would come in there to me and complain of stomach aches and loss of appetites and just leave it right over there for me, just put it in the microwave or in the refrigerator, most of the time in the microwave, put it in the microwave and I'll eat it later. Well, it was only later that I picked up on this is happening a lot. And I wonder, if they are even eating it later. So it's always a situation. So I grew up with three sisters and my mom, and I was never allowed in the kitchen. You know, you open a pot and the first thing you hear is get away from that pot. So that's another way we're having to survive by cooking for ourselves, but we're pulling it off. We're getting it done, and we'll survive. It's good to have the internet. It's good to have YouTube. They slow you down and they talk to you and tell you what to do. So we've been able to do a few things. But I would say that primarily those are the ways that I have been affected personally by the coronavirus. Besides health-wise, I'm doing well. Nobody in my immediate family that I know of has suffered from any of the effects from coronavirus, COVID-19. One of my childhood neighbors, next door neighbor, she was 2 years older than I was, and she married a guy who lived three houses down from me. We were all in the same neighborhood. But she is a nurse at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. And as it turned out, she was infected with the coronavirus, and then she took it home with her unknowingly, and she affected her husband, and he went on ventilator at the hospital. He was put on a ventilator. So they both have, I got to pause just to make, I'm not pause, but I got to correct myself. She survived for sure. The last time I heard her talk about him in a Facebook message, she said he was recovering and they should be taking him. He was starting to need less and less oxygen. So that's what I know. And I assume that he, to continue to improve, I haven't seen anything that, to the different that would make me to think differently, but I think he's survived. So that's one thing that I know. I've got a friend, a high school buddy. He's a pilot on a American Airlines 777 aircraft. And he and I are the same age. We graduated high school together. We both went in the Air Force. He was an Air Force pilot. He sent a picture out today. But normally on Facebook, he would post some beautiful pictures, you know, flying 35,000 feet over Hong Kong or approaching Beijing, China. So he flew those long routes. And I always wondered how he was doing. I hadn't seen any post from him, but I just saw one today saying he was flying over Anchorage, I believe. So he may have been coming from Asia because he flies the routes that he flies take him pretty much around the world. He'll fly from the United States normally eastward and go somewhere, eventually ended up in Europe, or and then make it a hop from Europe over across the bottom of China, Burma, and somewhere stops in China sometimes, and except in a few places there. And he also goes to Tokyo, and then on, and then he gets on into, he comes back into here in the United States. So that was a, it was good to hear from him today. So I don't know, as you know, to fly from Japan to the United States, you actually go north and fly, you know, close to the land up in the frozen tundra of Alaska, Russia, Korea, then Russia, and then over the ice pole, but over the ocean, but real close to the frozen land there. And then you come downward over Anchorage, Alaska, and some of the Alaskan towns. You come down that way, and you're entering the United States from an area around, you know, somewhere around Washington State, or you slice across Canada if you're going to Chicago, Detroit, New York. I guess you could go to Atlanta and Miami that way too. So I don't know for sure, but I was very happy to see that note from him today. So I need to write him and see if he had been sick or anything, because I hadn't seen any posts from him for a long time. And that's not uncommon. He will actually post for a week and then disappear for 2 months. Then he would post for another week. So that was kind of his pattern. So I will write him and find out if he was impacted or affected by the coronavirus. Let's see. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to school right now. That's a good thing. I'm going to school online. However, I will say that just to get out of the house, I've been doing little projects around the property, around on my truck. I'm doing things just to find things to do. So that's that too, I'll be honest with you, that too makes you, it makes you find things to do that, you know, versus jetting off and going to the ball game and this and that. It makes you slow down, be appreciative of what you have and the shelter that you have and the car, but it makes you see how rich your life already is. Hey, I have some things here that I can do. So that's very nice. I know the dogs are tired of everybody being at home here all day, all the time. So we try to make sure that we stay out of their way. So I'll tell you, tonight we're going to cut this show short tonight. But I want to remind you that we're going to be here every Friday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, and we're gonna be your support for anything you need. Just let us know, and we'll be there for you every Friday night, 8:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Stay right here. Come visit us at Turning the Tables with Talk. You're gonna see more from us on Facebook. We have a 50-person call-in limit, so we can take a lot of people. Just tell your friends, let everybody know to come and see us here at Blog Talk Radio. It's a calling show on your phone. You can call in at 516-666-8431. Tell your friends about us. And please, for all of the listeners, please go and get your PSA test. P as in Papa, S as in Sam, A as in Apple. Have all your males, all the male loved ones, go and get a PSA blood test. It's a simple blood draw on your arm, and they send it away to the lab or over to the lab, and they can tell you what your PSA score is. Prostate cancer is a big-time curable disease, highly curable, but in a lot, and it affects African-American males a lot. As in Tiger Woods' father who passed, he passed for prostate cancer. The problem with it is sometimes it's asymptomatic, or you're asymptomatic until it's already progressed so far that it's pretty deadly. So just make sure that, ladies, if you have men in your life, please, your sons, your nephews, your husbands, brothers, please, insist that they go to see their doctor and get a PSA test. And if you have to, ladies, I appeal to the ladies, because you all know about taking care of yourself. You all know about the importance of pre-screenings. So please be, to say this, ladies, please be responsible for the male loved ones who are knuckleheaded. If you have to, put them in the car and pull them down to the doctor's office. I'm a two-time prostate cancer survivor. And I always say, as I get my PSA test done twice a year, I always like to say that I did it, as in my testing. I had it, as in prostate cancer, and I'm still here. So I did it, I had it, I'm still here. And do the same for the male loved ones in your life. Thank you very much. Listen, we'll see you again next week, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, right here on Blog Talk Radio and at Turning the Tables with Talk. Find us on Facebook. We're there. Call in next week, 516-331. I'm hoping Sister Yvonne will feel better and will be able to join us as we try to build the show back to where we had it at one time. And we'll see you then, and may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Wink, wink. All right, bye-bye.
Lord, I want to be free, yeah. God, I need to be free, yeah. Lord, I want to be free, yeah. God, I need to be free.